Do not place the mother above the son. You would not be acting in accordance with God's will. Those who ascribe divine power to Mary diminish faith in God. Mary can and should be your example in obedience and humility, but your prayer should be directed to God alone, for He alone has the power and might. You should have no gods besides God, no goddess to whom you pray. Jesus gave Mary to His beloved disciple John at His death on the cross. "Behold, this is your mother," He said, and thus Mary's motherhood to Jesus ended. Pay Mary the honor, the love, the admiration that is due to her. Honor her as the purest, noblest woman in the world. Opinions. Disagreements arise from the intellectual and spiritual differences between people and minds. Just as no two leaves are exactly alike, so too are no two people who think exactly alike. A calm exchange of perspectives brings education, progress, and enlightenment. If this occurs passionately, discord, strife, and war arise. If you believe your friend has a false, erroneous opinion, discuss it with him seriously and calmly, and if you cannot teach him anything better, remain silent and leave it to God. Do not impose your opinion on anyone, respect the views of others. God is not always of your opinion either, and yet He does not destroy anyone for it. He is kind and patient. In the eternally turning wheel of time, everyone will finally learn to recognize the truth. Melancholy. Melancholy is a mental illness, a sickness of the spirit. It springs from a lack of faith, a lack of trust in God. Whoever dwells on melancholy thoughts should try praying to God fervently and often, and they will see how it refreshes and revives their heart and soul. Prayer is the best remedy for melancholy. Before unwavering trust in God, all clouds vanish, all gloomy thoughts disappear, God sends comfort to the troubled heart, and the person becomes joyful again. Never nurture melancholy with lamentation and self-pity. You will ultimately have to realize that you are artificially creating suffering and tormenting yourself. Fight it down, overcome it. Be hard, strict with yourself, and you will be healed. The misanthrope. Human beings are created for one another. They are meant to live for each other. Therefore, whoever hates and flees from humanity commits a sin. Those who flee from the hustle and bustle of society, from the life of the world, are therefore not necessarily misanthropes. Nor does the misanthrope always seek the quiet solitude of philosophers and thinkers. He often lives amidst the throng of people, but he hates them, thinks ill of everyone, is stingy, selfish, distrustful, and pessimistic. He offers no one a helping hand, begrudges no one anything good, expects only evil from people, resents everyone, and stands alone, loving only himself. A sad, lonely life, without love, without true friends. The misanthrope is a trial for others. He leaves the beggar empty-handed, the smiles of children do not delight him, the tears of sorrow leave him cold. He participates in no charitable work, he is fundamentally opposed to everything that could alleviate human suffering. He begrudges the rich their wealth, the fortunate their happiness, he gives no love, unloved, unpitied. He wanders toward the grave, finding no friends in the afterlife, for he who sows no love on earth will find no love in the hereafter. A sad existence, a sad end, a sad future. The philanthropist. How glorious is the life of the philanthropist, one who loves humankind because they are his brothers and sisters. The philanthropist is usually an optimist. He always expects the best from people, and even if he experiences disappointment, the good expectation was still worth something. The pulse of love can withstand even this pain. The philanthropist gives gladly, as much as he can. He is often taken advantage of. But it is better to give too much than too little. How many prayers of thanks rise to God for him? The philanthropist loves rich and poor, high and low. He can be found in the palace and in the hut of the poor. Children love him, he harms no animal. When children love someone, it is certain that they are a good person. The heart of a philanthropist is warm, it feels the pain and joy of others. They give and receive comfort, they are not alone. and a host of grateful spirits awaits him in the afterlife, full of love. Understanding human nature. Understanding human nature is a gift one is born with. Children often already possess a true sense of character and people. The judgment of many a child has already convicted adults. 157. Then sensitive natures know special people. They intuitively perceive people's qualities and thoughts, the souls and hearts of their fellow human beings open to their inner eye. They learn to recognize people through the tone of their voice, a glance, a handshake. This often says more than years of living together. Superficial and egotistical natures, or those who pedantically enclose themselves in forms and dogmas, will never become good judges of human nature. Their intellectual vision is limited, and they are incapable of seeing into the heart of their neighbor. Even a lively, social life does not produce good judges of human nature, for one should not judge anyone by outward appearances. Understanding human nature should be paired with love and gentleness, only then will it be a blessing. With gentleness you accomplish far more than with domineeringness or severity. Gentleness has an invincible power, for it has might over stubbornness and willfulness. Gentleness governs better than harshness. What threats often cannot achieve, a gentle, kind word can accomplish. Gentleness is an angel of comfort and mercy, it is love itself. It dries the tears of the unfortunate, it brings repentance and insight to the heart of the poor sinner. It reconciles evil, it is peace. O people, if you wish to be powerful, be gentle. Envy, resentment, two evil qualities. Whoever feels them in their spouse or friend suffers more than the one they afflict or intend to harm. Envy is the destroyer of love, resentment breeds hatred and strife. The envious person feels unhappy, they are full of bitterness and cannot find joy in life, they cannot rejoice with others. Looking with suspicion at their neighbor's happiness, they themselves lose it. The resentful person becomes avaricious and dissatisfied. Therefore, do not let the monster, envy, enter your heart. If you have the slightest predisposition for it, eradicate it, only will it, and you will succeed. The faults slumbering within people, already present in them, are always fanned by the spirits of temptation, and these must be overcome by firm will. Thus, the resentful person hears the evil voice of the envious spirits. Indeed, they feel how they incite them to envy. Drive away the tempter, give no ear to them, be brave and strong, do not let your heart be corrupted. God will help you. Discontent. Like many faults, discontent also springs from a lack of trust in God. There are people who become discontented over the slightest trifle. If you let discontent take over, it can lead to despair and become dangerous. Discontent leads you to an abyss. Therefore, be courageous, do not despair, banish sad thoughts, do not let your wings droop. When life seems hard and unbearable, when blow after blow bends you, then look all the more faithfully to God. Discontent does not make your trials easier, but trust makes every burden light. Discontent weighs down your heart and makes you unable to fight. Keep a joyful heart despite everything that may come. Do not let your trust in God be stolen from you. Discontent is weakness, a disgrace for the believer. Strive and persevere courageously, undaunted. Distrust. Distrust is an enemy that creeps unnoticed into your heart, gnaws at it, and embitters your life. Certainly, the unseen troublemakers are at work again, intent on making you unhappy. Just as there are people who readily stoke your distrust, so too are there spirits who do the same. Distrust has broken many a heart and committed much injustice. The distrustful person, like the ill-disposed, will never experience true joy in life, as they sense lies, deceit, and enemies everywhere. What a tormenting life that is! Reason and intellect should eradicate all distrust. Let the good heart drive away envy, let reason drive away distrust. If you reflect, you will see that distrust is a very useless and evil thing. It deprives you of love and trust. If you don't believe others, you too will be distrusted, and those who suffer from your distrust will curse you. You will receive no blessing, for you are responsible for every tear shed. So suppress mistrust, warm your heart with love and trust. Idleness. Idleness is the root of all evil. Idleness begins with bad habits that then degenerate into vice. On the dikes, idleness is a theft of eternity. They waste their time with inactivity, tedious chatter, finery, and trinkets. For the poor, idleness is the beginning of ruin. If you don't need to use your hands to earn your daily bread, work with your intelligence, with your mind, or give work to the poor, help them, work for them. You will always find enough to do. Remember, O man, that after death you will have to give an account of every day, every hour of your earthly life. If you then bring only empty, meaningless days, if your time is wasted, lost, then the bitter work will come in the spirit realm. So use your time, work while it is day, so that the night does not surprise you. Mother, the most beautiful memory for a lifetime, the highest form of selfless love a person can receive, is a mother's kiss, caress, and blessing. God's eye looks upon it with favor. A mother's blessing is a powerful protection and shield. Her prayer delivers from hell and death. Great men have usually had good mothers. Even before birth, the spirit of a child is closely connected and in love with the spirit of its mother. These are pre-earthly bonds. A good son will also be a good husband, an obedient daughter a worthy wife. Do not despise a mother's loving words, her admonition, for her voice speaks true. He who is responsible for his mother's tears and sorrow would have been better off never having been created. The man who respects his mother will respect all women, for a noble and faithful mother remains a model for life. Therefore, mothers, you cannot be strict and conscientious enough as an example for your children. The mother remains a model for the child. A mother's love should be sensible, but not weak or vain. Vain love has already ruined much. Be strict when your child is misbehaving. A mother's discipline drives children from hell, and the seeds of evil must be nipped in the bud. A spoiled child does not respect its mother, and true love is founded only on respect. A child who lost its mother early will always feel this love, for nothing can replace a mother's love and care. The heart of a faithful mother is a glorious thing. The bond between mother and children never ends. It is an eternal bond, forged even for the next world. Gossip. Judge not, or you too will be judged. If you know something unfavorable about your neighbor, keep it to yourself. Slander has already spread much discord and caused much misfortune. Speak only good things about your neighbor, but keep the bad to yourselves and do not judge them. O people, restrain your talkativeness and speak no evil about your brothers and sisters. Alas, for some, it is a great pleasure to speak ill of their fellow human beings. You cannot be too vigilant about yourselves. All too soon an evil, unjust word is spoken and harm is done. Silence is golden. Happy is he who never has a word to regret. Forbearance. Be forbearance with others, strict with yourself. Through forbearance you make friends and reap love. Whoever judges harshly against their fellow human beings will be judged just as mercilessly. Forbearance springs from love of one's neighbor. You cannot see into the innermost thoughts of people, you do not know the circumstances and things that determine their actions, and you do not know how you would have acted in this or that situation, for a person's mood, the moment, often decides their actions. Therefore, be lenient, for even God the Lord shows leniency toward you. 165, Nature. If you are truly distressed and find no comfort among people, flee out into nature, listen to the rustling of the forest, the roar of the sea, the song of the birds, and you will find heavenly comforting voices who teach you to pray. You will find many a good example in nature. Is not the animal, in its simplicity, faithfulness, and love, often a shameful example for humankind? The mother animal does not abandon her young as long as they need her care, but among us humans, there are unnatural mothers who abandon, sell, and kill their children. In nature there are no vices, no sins, these are found only in humankind. The refined wickedness of so-called civilized people is the most unnatural and wicked. God is to be found in nature. Can humankind even grasp the smallest? Can anyone create something that could equal the song of birds, the fragrance, the vibrant colors of flowers, all the mysteries and powers of nature? Nature remains impossibly vast, incomparably beautiful. Whoever contemplates nature without God deprives it of its soul and spirit, its life, for everything is dead without God. But whoever seeks God in nature will find the Creator and worship Him in awe. God Himself will enter their heart and dwell there. Naturalness. A sincere, truth-loving spirit will always be natural. The greatest charm of youth is naturalness. Everything artificial is ugly because it is untrue. Nothing makes a person so ridiculous as unnaturalness, eccentricity, and exaggeration. Do not try to appear different or better than you are. Remain in the sphere where fate has placed you. Do nothing beyond your means. Unnaturalness is an outgrowth of vanity and the desire to please. Above all, strive to please God. No dissembling will help, for He knows your heart. Be without falsehood, like the flower in its natural beauty, desire no more than you have been given. Need and misery, those to whom God has placed the goods of this earth should alleviate need and misery. Your possessions are only borrowed, manage them for God's glory. Seek out the sick and the needy, offer them comfort and relief. Need and misery are harsh penances for misguided spirits, for those who squandered their money in their former earthly existence without remembering the poor. Behold, now they themselves must plead, those who previously granted no request, they loved nothing but themselves, and must now learn to pray in misery. If you do not help the poor, such a penance awaits you, for it will one day be measured to you with the same measure with which you measured, that is the retribution of good and evil. Can you rejoice in your life when the poor beg for bread? Can you pursue pleasures when the unfortunate weep? Remember the suffering, then yourself. Unfortunately, for most, obligations to the world take precedence. But to the wretched we call out, be patient, persevere, do not despair, God knows why He tests you thus. Do not grumble. 168 The time will come when you will thank God for all the suffering you have endured. Speak in humility, Lord, Thy will be done. And remember, where need is greatest, their help is nearest. Duty. If everyone were clear about their duties to God and to others, the earth would be the dwelling place of happy beings. Let everyone ask themselves, therefore, what is my duty? What am I to do, or what am I to refrain from doing? If your duty is clear to you, then fulfill it conscientiously and faithfully. But many burden themselves with things that they disregard everything and act important about it, while neglecting their own most sacred and immediate duties. Small, everyday duties are especially often overlooked, but whoever is faithful in small matters will also be faithful in great ones. Therefore, dear friends, let the small, everyday duties concern you, so that you may also be faithful and courageous in great matters. Philosophy. Philosophy is the counterweight to materialism. It is the spirit in science. It should speak for God, spirit, immortality, and morality. Philosophy is thus something purely spiritual. It deals with being or non-being, with beginning and end. It should be vigilant, working against the subversive elements of materialism. There have always been more philosophers than materialists, a sign that humanity is striving more toward immortality than eternal death. The words of the great philosophers of old still live on today. The intellectual activity of philosophy never dies, its words endure. It takes a sharp mind to delve deeply into abstract matters, a pure spirit, and a good heart. Philosophy must be based on logic. Logical philosophy is the surest form of proof. It presents irrefutable facts. Philosophy is your best friend and helper, for it fights for God and immortality. 170. Prophets. A prophet is someone sent by God to bring light and truth to earth. There have been few true prophets, but many who have presumed this mission. Jesus remains the model of a prophet. However, he is more than all prophets, since he is God's firstborn. A prophet should be noble, humble, kind, devoted to God, loving, chaste, and virtuous. Those who consider themselves prophets are arrogant, vain, susceptible to flatterers, and love the world as if it were God. A prophet should be poor, for he renounces everything of this world. He clings only to God and his mission. With God only on his lips, with lip service and hypocrisy, one will not become a prophet. For one cannot serve two masters, God and the world. The true prophet lives in God and God in him. He serves the poor, helps the sinner. His whole life is devotion, love, prayer. His word is revelation, truth, light. Such prophets, dear brothers, are sent by God from time to time. Blessed are those who recognize them. 171. Avarice. From pride comes vanity, from vanity, avarice. Great sacrifices are made to avarice. The female sex serves it especially, sacrificing health and domestic peace. The result is extravagance and often the complete ruin of one's fortune. How many thousands of hungry people could be fed with the money that is uselessly spent on finery? Women readily have money for a new dress, a fashionable hat, but not for the poor. That is how it is in the world. First, appearances before people, then, if there's still time, the poor. These trinkets for your corpse will one day weigh heavily on you before God's judgment seat. Then, when the beloved, so carefully adorned body decays, the tears of those you could so easily have helped will burden your souls. Therefore, curb your obsession with finery, and when you dress, think of the clothing of the poor. Let your clothes not become a sin for you. Revenge. Only those who hate will also seek revenge. Both are things instigated by evil spirits, carried out with the help of true demons. Do not let hatred and thoughts of revenge enter your heart. Do not let yourself be whipped by furies who instill in you devilish plans, the result of which is curse, pain, and misfortune. Leave the punishment to God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and he knows how to punish most effectively. But you must forgive, for your revenge, driven by passion, is unjust. Rank. People are very concerned with rank. They often value only the rank, not the person. Even if the one without rank is simple, straightforward, and far superior to the high-ranking individual, he is scarcely respected, while the other is revered. That is human nature. High positions, awards, titles, these are what people love, respect, and honor, and so it has been for thousands of years. The virtuous person without rank is hardly regarded, but the high-ranking, wicked person is revered. Therefore, Jesus said in this regard, the first will be last, and the last first. Only those who are pure in heart will enter through the narrow gate. O people, strive first for the rank of virtue and goodness, for the rank that still holds sway in heaven. Be gladly last on earth, so that you may be first with God. Take Jesus as his example. He had neither rank nor dignity on earth, was despised and forsaken. And you want things to be better? Follow him, the Savior, and truly, you will not be lost. Advice. If a friend asks you for good advice, reflect, ask God for enlightenment, and then advise as best you can, but do not claim that your advice is the best, infallible one. It is difficult to give someone the right advice because you cannot fully put yourself in their shoes. Whoever wants advice should seek it above all from God. Collect yourself, pray deeply and fervently. God will then inspire you with what is right. In any case, always ask only devout, God-fearing people for advice, but those who have faith do not need human advice, for they rely on God's power, which leads everyone who prays fervently to the right path. Speaking. Silence is golden. Talkativeness has sown much discord, but a kind word spoken at the right time brings blessings. People who talk too much tend to exaggerate, they don't stick to the truth. Their imagination conjures up things that aren't there, they blurt out things in inappropriate places that they would rather keep silent about. With carelessness, they sow the seeds of strife. Others, on the other hand, do harm by talking too little. They lack a word of love and friendship for their neighbor here and there. Finding the right measure in speech is an art. Christ said, "Let your speech be yes, yes, no, no." He meant that you should speak the truth and no more or less, for keeping the truth silent is also often a wrong. Above all, speak only what is good and not useless things. Keep a strict watch over your mouth. Do good with your speech, avoid evil, do no one wrong with your tongue, and let no word of resentment or anger pass your lips. Honesty. He who is honest in small matters is also honest in large ones. An honest person is neither a flatterer nor a hypocrite. He loves openness and truth, his conscience is clear, and there is nothing evil in him. Honesty has loyal friends, it extends trust and love. The heart of the honest person beats joyfully, no evil thoughts oppress them. Honesty is the finest comfort, the greatest adornment of the poor. When they practice this virtue, they are rich. Be honest in thought, word, and deed. Say only what you truly mean, commit no dishonesty. Then you need not fear God's light, which will one day illuminate and clarify all things. Wealth. People consider wealth the greatest happiness on earth, and truly, wealth is not happiness, but a test. Do not desire wealth. Would you resist all the temptations that money brings? Selfishness, hedonism, narrow-mindedness, avarice, and not forget God in the face of borrowed goods? Using money according to God's will is an art that few understand. Christ said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Footnote: the very low and narrow entrances to the huts of Oriental nomads were and still are called the eye of a needle. End of footnote. Thus, the rich are not to be envied, for who knows whether a life full of pleasure and comfort is not followed by a life of deprivation and suffering? How many poor people are bitter toward the rich, how many envy the wealthy? Oh, how foolish! How can one envy someone for a trial or test, envy them for temptations? Wealth is a blessing only in the hands of selfless, noble people who carry God's pleasure in their hearts. In the hands of the wicked, however, it is a curse and ruin. Religion. Without religion is the person who believes in nothing and adheres to no law, no form, binds lives freely according to his desires, like the animal that follows the law, for it is obedient to its master, it heeds the commands of its instinct and recognizes human intelligence. But the person without religion resists the intelligence that stands above him, he turns away from God. He worships only himself, and even in himself he refuses to believe, since he denies immortality. So it is with the person without religion. His heart dies to all higher, spiritual life. He wants only to enjoy himself, everything else is indifferent to him, and he does not think of life after death. But how different is the religious person! With faith in God and in immortality in his heart, he will be steadfast and calm in the storms of this life, nothing can shake him. The clear awareness that God watches over him, that there is life after death, will be imprinted on all his actions. He develops himself spiritually and mentally, his intelligence becomes the highest. To learn to grasp, the seemingly incomprehensible becomes comprehensible to him, and peace, indeed bliss, will dwell in his heart. No doubts will torment him, no fears of death will torment him, for he knows his God, and God knows him. 178. Repentance. Repentance is salvation, redemption, liberation. Many banish a feeling of remorse from themselves because they find it characterless and weak. Without purpose or benefit, they suppress this feeling at the very moment when salvation would still be possible. Blessing and salvation to those who sincerely repent of their errors, they have found the true means of redemption. Whoever bows their pride in deep repentance is great in victory over themselves. Repentance makes one humble, insightful, and enlightened. Is it really so difficult to say after a mistake, "I was wrong, forgive me"? How much can be made right by such a word? Then comes forgiveness, peace. For many, repentance comes only after it is too late, after suffering and to prevent unhappiness. Pride and false shame alone hold you back from repentance. Oh, dear friends, let repentance enter your hearts as a silent friend and comforter.